This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk, the final hour of today and my final broadcast hour of 2025. Tomorrow will be the first New Year's Eve that I haven't worked since, like, high school. So that'll be crazy. Looking forward to that. But looking forward to the next hour and looking forward to talking with our next guest, Frank Mealy. He is a retired editor of the Daily Interlake in Montana, also a columnist for Real Clear Politics. His newest book is titled What Matters Most, God, Country, Family, and Friends. His latest piece is headlined, For Better or Worse, It Was the Year of Trump. Frank, Happy New Year.
Hey, Joe, thank you very much. Same to you.
Frank, in your latest piece, For Better or Worse, It Was the Year of Trump, you talk about, and I kind of touched on this at the end of the last hour, he wins that election, and, I mean, we were on a Trump high, it seemed, for a couple of months starting 2025.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from the election on, the energy was, you know, palpable. The excitement was there. Everybody knew this was going to be, you know, the Trump that changed the world. First term Trump, he was still trying to get along with people. He was making peace with rhinos. He was trying to make peace with Nancy Pelosi, believe it or not, Chuck Schumer. I mean, he had him into the office and it was all, we're going to solve, you know, the DACA problem. We're going to let these dreamers stay. And it was a little scary there at the beginning of the first term. And then he turned it around because he realized he had a lot of enemies, and enemies galvanized him to, harden his shell and make his, agenda, give his agenda more oomph. And, we know what happened. The first term ended. It was, we were disappointed he didn't get that second term. And everything, historically from that point on is like, we're in new territory. And that's basically what this column is about, is Trump 2.0. Who is he? What is he? Do we know whether he's going to do good for the country or not? We know that he is the most consequential president, certainly since FDR, probably since Lincoln. And he is doing things that nobody's ever thought about doing before. And, as somebody who's been supporting him for 10 years, I'm a little scared. I'm a little worried because it seems like he doesn't necessarily take counsel. And, I've been around a lot of people in my life, bosses, a lot of them, and people out in the community who think they know better than everybody else. And it's a little scary because if people won't listen to advice, won't listen to counsel, and do whatever they think is, then you're basically turning yourself over to them. And, devil take the hindmost.
You point out that, he has stuck to deporting illegal aliens. I mean, if there's one thing that his administration got right on and has really stayed the course is cleaning up the mess that the Biden administration created.
Yeah. I mean, I point to three things that I'm like, nobody else would have done it. And thank God Trump was there. It was deporting illegals, stopping, closing the border, and then getting rid of DEI. I mean, an absurdity. They had no business in American politics or culture. And putting the transgender thing back in the hole where it belonged, and, saying that we're going to have common sense. Those things are certainly important. But what I'm seeing is things like, you know, where does it stop? I mean, I'm going to support Trump's policies no matter what, but when he seems to not listen to, he doesn't seem to be able to see how other people see him. And so he does whatever he wants, and he keeps telling us that people love him. But we know all we got to do is look at the polls to know people don't love him. A lot of people really, really despise him. And he just keeps acting as if that doesn't exist. And what I'm worried about is the midterm elections are going to come along. He's going to get whomped. The House of Representatives is going to turn strongly Democratic. He's going to be impeached again. And everything he's been doing with executive orders is going to be at risk and in 2028, very possibly overturned. So if we really believe in the agenda that he's pushing, we need to tell Trump, you know, stop it. Don't act like, you know, I mean, you go back to Shakespeare's tragedies. The tragic flaw in almost everybody is that overweening pride or hubris that they taught us in high school English. And Trump seems to have a lot of that hubris in him. He doesn't seem to necessarily have the capacity for self-reflection that, you know, I would feel a lot more comfortable in a leader.
You know, you're so right, because I always say, hey, I can look past the things he says and, you know, some of the dumb stuff he does, because policy-wise, I'm right in line with him. I like what he's doing legislatively. Unfortunately, not everyone thinks like us, and you have independents, and he's not only ruining it for the midterms. I'm afraid that, you know, if he doesn't kind of just, hey, you know, you didn't have to tweet that or you didn't have to say that, it could spell trouble for J.D. Vance or whoever the candidate is in 2028. And it could mean Gavin Newsom as the next president.
Or AOC. I mean, it's entirely possible. The pendulum is a real thing in politics. You go too far in one direction and there's always going to be a reaction back in the other direction. And we're at the point where Trump has the capacity to, you know, transform. I hate to say it, because Barack Obama wanted to transform the nation and it would have been disastrous if he pulled it off. But Trump has the capacity to transform the nation, make America great again, as he said, and to put us into position to, you know, have a good long American century in the 21st century. And he puts it at risk by acting like everything he does is without question. And you know, I mean, this thing with the Kennedy Center just drives me crazy. And I ended my column with it, because I mean, the idea that he would put his name on the Kennedy Center as if, you know, he somehow is, I mean, I grew up with John F. Kennedy as my first president I knew about. When he was assassinated, I stood there in front of the TV that weekend that all the networks back in the day, that's all we had. They all were showing every speech that Kennedy'd ever given. And so I'm like 7, 8 years old. I'm sitting in front of the TV and I'm watching this guy and I'm mesmerized because he's so brilliant and he's so funny and he can reach across aisles. He can reach, you know, across religions, everything. And he was a force of nature like Trump was. Trump can't just say, oh, now I am going to be, I'm going to let next John F. Kennedy and take over his legacy. He can't do that. I mean, and that's the kind of thing that's just driving me crazy, because I wrote a column back a few months ago saying, Melania, please talk to Donald about Epstein. We need you to calm him down. Stop calling it a hoax. I mean, where does that come from? It's obviously something deep inside him, you know, whether it's insecurity or whatever it is, that he sometimes goes off the rails and doesn't think twice about what the consequences are going to be.
Now, you mentioned that the president has, you know, America 250 coming up. It should be a time when, you know, a lot of people are coming together. So what do you say? You said cool it. What's your advice to the president these first few months of 2026 to try kind of turn it around and save the midterms for Republicans?
Well, I mean, we're all hopeful that his economic policies are going to pay off as he has promised us with the tariffs and everything else. And it's entirely possible we're going to be in a good position. I think all America as a whole wants is that they don't. Again, I'm going back to bosses I've had. Nobody wants a boss that tells you they're responsible for the success of the company. Tell the employees they're the reason the company succeeds. Tell the little guy, you know, without you, we couldn't have made it happen. It's not all about Trump. It's about us. And that was the last thing I said in the column.
Frank, I also want to, you wrote a few weeks ago, we can fix healthcare, and here's the plan. You wrote down, you know, healthcare seems to be this thing that, I mean, heck, it shut down the government for over a month. What is, summarize, what is your plan for healthcare? How do you think you can get the right and the left to agree on something?
Well, I mean, it is, I came at it from the point of view of we are wasting billions of dollars on these tax subsidies for premiums. You know, we're not really providing money for healthcare. We're providing money for premiums so that people get insurance, but the insurance that they get has these really high deductibles. It has, you know, you have to oftentimes meet your deductible before you get any actual healthcare benefit. So my plan was to take the money the government's spending and actually use it directly on healthcare for people. It would be a complicated system how it would get paid, but government would fund primary care for people so that they'd actually see that they care about themselves, you know, their children. They want to make sure their children are taken care of, everything else. You're going to do that, and you're going to save money at the same time. It was a complicated plan because in addition to providing primary care, when a person became sick during that emergency, whether it's a heart attack, cancer, again, by the government stepping in and paying upfront the costs of that care, it would mean that the insurance companies would not lose as much money for those cases. And so they would be able to keep their premiums lower because they're paying less out. The government's paying. The government, instead of paying premiums, is going to actually pay for health care. I mean, and it's not Medicare for all. I'm not in favor of Medicare for all, although I have Medicare now. I'm old enough that I get it. And I appreciate it. It's really made my life incredibly better. But this is not a plan where the government is going to be telling people what kind of health care they can get or anything else. It's going to be just they're going to step into the system. When doctors need to get paid, the government's going to be there to pay them. That's it. It's not going to mess up the, you know, appointments and the UK system where you got to wait months and months to get in. Obviously, it's a dream. It's not going to happen the way I planned it, but something is going to happen. And if the Republicans keep just saying, well, we're, you know, the Trump Cassidy plan was we'll put $1,000 a year in your health savings account. Well, that's not going to help anybody. I mean, and I just it's the kind of thing that they say and they think they feel great about it, but it's not going to satisfy the people who actually are sick and then need health care. It's just not.
Frank, my final question for you. I grew up 90 minutes from Toronto, right? Went to Canada all the time, live in Buffalo. My bucket list place to visit is Montana. You're from Montana. Is it worthy of being on my bucket list?
Definitely worthy, but plan on leaving when you finish with your wonderful vacation. You know, Glacier National Park, where I'm at, is amazing. They call it the Alps of America. You know, it's the mountains are just magnificent, and most people are just going to stay on the Going to the Sun Road. They're not going to get off. If you happen to be adventurous and you go off, you're going to have the experience of a lifetime. I don't necessarily recommend that because it's dangerous, but if you want to just have a one-time trip to Montana, you really need to see Yellowstone. It's partly in Montana. It's more in Wyoming, but Yellowstone National Park is a phenomenon of, you know, it's just thank goodness they put it aside when they did more than 100 years ago, because it's amazing. And You know, I can't say all of Montana is going to keep you occupied. There's a lot of empty space, but if you carefully plan that vacation, you will definitely appreciate it.
All right, I'm putting it on the calendar. Hey, Frank, really appreciate talking to you. I hope you have a happy new year.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
That is Frank Mile, retired editor of the Daily Interlake in Montana and a columnist for Real Clear Politics. His newest book is titled What Matters Most, God, Country, Family, and Friends. And his latest piece, as we talked about, is headlined For Better or Worse, It Was the Year of Trump. Again, you can find that at Real Clear Politics. And give it a read. And I would also suggest scrolling through his other pieces, like the healthcare one. Some very interesting stuff from Frank, and always appreciate the conversation. We'll be back. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And we will be talking with Cheryl Chumley in the next segment, talking about that Minnesota fraud that I talked about in my monologue. So stay tuned for that. I told you I'm in a hotel room. My parents got all the kids in the family passes to Strong Museum, and so spent the morning there. Let me tell you, I'm happy to be here in the hotel room. But I got the they had the little coffee maker in here with the coffee, and I needed a little pick me up. I'm trying to quit the energy drinks for 2026. That is my New Year's resolution. And I made the coffee and I took a few sips, and then I remember seeing these reports. Do you remember when the big thing on shows like 2020, before they just became outlets to bash Trump, the big thing was they would go and do all this investigative work in hotels and let's see we stayed in the same room two nights in a row. Did they really clean it? Do you remember that? And I remember one of those investigations looked at the coffee maker and the bacteria that was in the, now I've had half this coffee now as we're speaking, so hopefully this is not one that they were mentioning in the investigation. I kind of miss when that was Inside Edition and 2020. I mean, that's what the show used to be. I mean, it used to be all of this stuff. I remember 2020 once did a show. They followed a person who was faking being homeless on the streets of New York, and they followed this person home. And they lived in this beautiful studio apartment. They put nice clothes on and they went out for a fancy dinner. I just feel like they don't do that kind of journalism anymore. That was an entertaining end to TGIF on ABC in the 90s. And now, we have it's all the same. It's all the same news magazine and the attacks on the administration. I will give Dateline a little credit. I mean, Dateline does the mysteries every Friday night. And by the way, if you want that in podcast form, you can find that on the Odyssey app. You like how I worked the plugin there? I'm not going to lie. I have found myself listening to podcasts of Dateline driving. One tech game this year, I discovered the Dateline podcast in the app. And the whole way down to Virginia Tech, which is about 7.5 hours for me, we just listened to Dateline after Dateline. And my dad's not going to let me pick the radio stations for the next few trips down the tech. But I'm fascinated by those things. And you know, like that's, it goes back to my late night television thing. When I'm looking for something, not that murder mysteries, and that seems to be huge now in America. I mean, how many crime channels do we have? To the point, though, I do like to watch it. I know I'm that's me talking. I said contradicting things within 30 seconds of each other. It is. I mean, you have HLN, you have ID Discovery, you have Dateline. I mean, you have channels and shows that revolve around these crime mysteries, these murder mysteries. But the way they package them, they're very fascinating. I mean, tragic, but you know, fascinating to find, and what people think they can get away with. I mean, they had more believable villains, or I'm sorry, more believable cover-ups on Columbo than what some of these people try to get away with on Dateline. And I'm glad they all get caught. But that's, you know, that's what these magazines used to be. And now it's, you know, 60 Minutes. If it's not a bash piece on Trump, you've got the whole CBS newsroom ticked off. I don't even know what they do on 2020 anymore. I don't think they're doing hotel investigations like they used to. It seems like now the hotel investigations are coming from the YouTube influencers. I watched one guy. He spent an entire night just checking in at one-star motels in his town. Now, that was an entertaining video. I'm not going to lie. I'd like to see a big publication like 2020 try to do that. But, you know, I mean, Barbara Walters is no longer with us, and John Stossel's, I don't know where he is now, but I used to love that at the end of 2020. I'm John Stossel. Give me a break. But no, now it's all got to be politics. It's all got to be, you know, especially now. I mean, it's all got to be something going after Trump and using their newsroom that way. But it's funny how things stick with you, because I remember those 20. I mean, I was a kid. I mean, we're talking about when Hanging with Mr. Cooper was on. Ethan's probably never heard of Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Nope.
But that's back when Hanging with Mr. Cooper was on at 9:30 after Boy Meets World, after Sabrina. It was a great lineup, Step by Step, Family Matters on ABC. And then 2020, Barbara Walters and John Stossel's. And I mean, so we're talking, I'm 37. So that was at least 27 years ago. And that episode sticks with me from when I was 10. Just funny how certain things stick with you. And I can't tell you what I had for breakfast this morning. When we come back, we're talking with Cheryl Chumley about the Minnesota fraud. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. Yes, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And we are joined by Cheryl Chumley, Washington Times online opinion editor and host of the podcast Bold and Blunt. She was talking about the Minnesota fraud scandal that's really starting to finally catch some eyes. We talked about it in our monologue. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
You know, Cheryl, you talk about in your piece just how more staggering and brazen since just November the details of this fraud have come into play. What do you think of just the most recent developments in the last week?
I don't know which one are you talking about, right? It seems, never mind, every day something new comes out. Every hour it seems like there's a new bit of fraud coming out. These daycare centers are emerging as huge. But I got to tell you, Joe, I was looking into this, and there was a congressman from Minnesota, Jason Lewis was his name, and more than a decade ago, he was testifying before Congress about $100 million that were missing in Minnesota daycares. And he had concerns then that money was being sent overseas, specifically to Somalia. So this sort of seems a story that's been a known fraud and just been completely ignored under this Democrat governor administration.
You know, it's amazing how many times I hear that, you know, just locally, you know, the fraud had been known, had been talked about in the hallways, and, you know, no one wants to be the person. For some reason, no one in the political circle wants to be the one to break the news. As you say in your piece, I mean, this, some are saying $1 billion, some are saying $9 billion. You're right. No one's saying zero, but that's not stopping people like Abby Phillip on CNN to still attack the influencer who, you know, made the investigation video.
Yeah, that it's such a Hail Mary now to go after. I think the journalist's name is Nick Shirley, right? I think it's such a Hail Mary on the part of Democrats and their enablers in the media to try and somehow paint this journalist as if he's doing some sort of racist hatchet job against the Somalian community, because it, months ago or over the last few months, the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have been investigating out there in Minnesota, and they have made several arrests, almost 100, and the vast majority of them have come from the Somalian community. So to go after this journalist as if he's doing something wrong by just reporting the truth, I don't understand why they're doing it except to distract from the actual fraud that's occurred.
I did find it funny. CBS did a piece this morning, and you know, they said, well, we only found that two of the operations were running without a license, and you know, they kind of just glossed over that. And then they say Minnesota tells us that their officials have been looking into this. Like, well, why would you believe what Minnesota state officials say? They're obviously the ones covering up the fraud.
Yeah, at this point, it's not a matter of whether or not fraud has occurred. It's just to what amount, right? Because we don't know. $1 billion, it started out as, I think it started out as like $350 million or maybe $300 million. And then quickly it went to $1 billion. And then we blinked eyes for a second, and next thing we know, it was $9 billion. And I think that that's going to even climb. And, what the positive here is, I'm pretty sure now other states are going to be doing some internal investigations of their own to find and uncover fraud. We've already seen some sort of a fraud that has emerged out of Columbus, Ohio. California is just, they have all kinds of fraud issues going on right now. And I think other states are going to start to look at their social services programs and vet themselves before this administration, this White House administration, sends in the DHS and the FBI.
What do you think could be the political consequence for Tim Walz in a blue state like Minnesota?
Well, honestly, nothing, right? In this piece I wrote, it's time for him to pack it in. It's time for him to go. He's already served for two terms as governor, and he's running for a third term, which is really unprecedented. And the fact that he's running at a time where he's been the leadership over some mind-boggling numbers of fraud, fraudulent use of tax dollars, if this were a Republican, there's no way that he could run and win. But the fact that it's a Democrat and the fact that the media is still trying to cover for Walz at this point tells me that he's going to continue his campaign. And I don't know, I think 50-50 has a chance to win in that state. Honestly, the voters there, they're either lunatics or there are so many Somalian voters now that he's already bought them. So politically, I don't see many consequences coming for Walz.
You know, it is amazing, though. I mean, in the last 18 months ago, nobody knew who Tim Walz was outside of Minnesota, right? No one was talking about Tim Walz. He multiplies the incompetency on the Kamala Harris ticket. And now the fraud, I mean... The stuff we have learned about a guy that we didn't know existed 18 months ago, it's just amazing. I wonder what other blunders we could find in Tim Walz's political past.
I don't know, but, you know, we dodged a bullet, didn't we? Imagine this guy in the White House right now. So we really did dodge a bullet in this last election.
We sure did. Now, you mentioned this earlier, but in my monologue, I talked about, you know, I'm 37 years old, and I 37 years, I have seen Democrats get accused of stuff, get found guilty of stuff, and still be able to slide and have very lucrative political careers. At the same time, you never see Republicans, and not that I would want to, by the way, but you don't see the same treatment of Republicans. I mean, one of the earliest political stories I remember, obviously, is Bill Clinton in the 90s. And I mean, he was still treated like a rock star by the media. I mean, it really is It really is 180 how the different parties are treated in times like this.
Yeah, there is definitely a double standard. And you mentioned Bill Clinton, and it wasn't only the media. Remember, it was the women's organizations as well that bent over backwards to defend him, or by their silence, with the whole Monica Lewinsky matter, by their silence, they gave thumbs up to him and support. So there is a double standard out there. The majority of media still falls on the side of supporting Democrats and only doing watchdog work as they're supposed to do as journalists when Republicans are in charge.
It's just disappointing. Like you said, I mean, Tim Walz is in a state that most likely will still reelect him. What do you think the Trump administration could do to these officials? As you mentioned, almost 100 arrested. I mean, if this comes back to Tim Walz, could we see some federal action against the governor?
Yeah, that is the good thing, right? This administration isn't like previous administrations when they try and root out fraud and waste and corruption and all that. This administration really seems to be determined to hold people accountable for their actions. I don't know if this would lead to anybody in handcuffs being taken away. But like I said, there have been 98 arrests made, 85 of whom were in the Somalian community. And I think it was something like 65 or 68 who have been convicted in court. So this is all under Cash Patel. So this administration will go forward and carry as far as they can in court. The big question is what judges will do, right? Because now we're dealing with this whole situation in America where we have these activist judges, these liberal judges that really want to fight any type of law and order and accountability this administration wants to bring.
It is, I mean, the activist judges, that was a point of one of my topics yesterday. These activist judges that, I mean, really, they have been there to just sink Trump's administration. And again, the double standard, that would be called out. I mean, they would spend the whole 30 minutes on ABC's evening news if it was the other way around.
Yeah, the judges, really, you know, the first Trump administration, it was the deep state. It was Russia, 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 right? 3 years of collusion and special prosecutors and congressional hearings held by Democrats to stymie any type of policy that Trump wanted to put forth. This time around, it's not so much that. It's not so much the Democrats in Congress that are, preventing him from bringing forth his policies and agendas, as it is the judges. And, you know, Democrats have learned that they can go to court and they can push, push, push. And just the very fact that they file something in court can delay an action on this administration. And sometimes that's enough just to delay it.
Absolutely crazy. Well, Cheryl, obviously something we're going to continue to follow. And, you know, I say it boggles my mind how Tim Walz could get reelected. But I'm talking to you from New York State, where Kathy Hochul will probably be reelected. So I guess it doesn't boggle my mind too much.
Yeah. And from the state that has the city where Zohran Mamdani was just elected. Oh, so that
don't
is
get me started
reality.
On that. Unfortunately. Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much. I hope you have a happy new year.
You too. Thank you.
That is Cheryl Chumley with the Washington Times. She's a online opinion editor and host of the podcast Bold and Blunt. Again, Cheryl, thank you so much. When we come back, final segment of this New Year's Eve show. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It is the final segment here on 97.1 FM Talk. Joe Beamer is my name. I'm filling in for Mark Reardon. And always a pleasure to fill in for Mark and be with Ethan and Sue and Fred. Always a lot of fun and greatly, greatly appreciated. So earlier we were talking about the movie theaters, and you know, I do think they need to put a longer, you know, it's in the theaters longer. My gosh, I lived in Hornell, New York back when Titanic came out. And I mean, that movie was in the theater for almost a year in a small two screen theater. I think maybe it was three screen theater in some small town in New York. You got to put, you know, extend that. Hey, this is your chance to see it. Everyone's talking about it. And yeah, it'll be released to streaming a year from now. Now, again, you would also maybe have to, you know, it doesn't help that Netflix and Amazon are actually making movies. But we'll see. Another thing that, you know, happened twice this year, but it was like a one or two time showing, was they brought back to the Future in the theaters for the 40th anniversary. But there were, the theater near me, there were only two showings. So it wasn't like it was this thing that was there for a few weeks. It was two showings, 7:30 on like two random Thursday nights. And, you know, for me, like I need some days to pick from. You know, I need some times to pick from. And the same with Wedding Crashers. Wedding Crashers came out, one of my favorite movies of all time. 20-year anniversary of Wedding Crashers. I would have definitely gone and made like a date night with my wife, you know, but I need more than two options. And like the two options for Wedding Crashers were one Friday at 7:30 and then like some random day at 4:30. Like I need a few options to pick from so I can find a sitter for my son. We can plan a nice dinner out. You know, I like to do the dinner in a movie thing. But I think that's part of how you bring the theaters back. I think extending the time before they're on streaming, but bring back some old favorites. You know, bring, you know, Back to the Future. That was a great idea. Just do it for more than 2 days. Bring it back for like a month. Same with Wedding Crashers. You know, when we have these 10, 20, 40 year anniversary movies, I mean, we have this this theater in the city of Buffalo where they also premiere Hallmark movies. And my wife and I were on the set of one of the GAC movies over the summer, and we were invited to the premiere at this theater. By the way, the theater sold out for that. It was packed. But they also show, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, and they'll show these older movies. And, I mean, the place fills up. Now, of course, they're not charging what a big-name theater charges. They're, you know, it's still your old-school theater seats that we all grew up with. But, you know, I mean, they're showing classics, and people are driving from all around to go and watch it. They're filling up the theater. They're buying concessions. My gosh, we went to that movie premiere a few weeks ago, and the line for the concessions was out the door. I thought I was in line to get my ticket scanned, and then realized, oh no, you're in the popcorn line, Joe. The there's no one in line to get the ticket scanned. So I think, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I just either they're when they do it, it's kind of, you know, again, 2 days for a classic. Put that in for a month. I'm telling you, I think it will fill up. Leave movies there longer before they're streaming. I also thought this, now maybe I'm alone. I thought this like 10 years ago, and now I probably wouldn't be one of the people there, but sporting events, you know, all these theaters now are stadium style sporting events. Now, again, when I was 27, I thought that sounded like an awesome idea. Now, I either want to be at the game, as we talked about yesterday with my FOMO, or I want to be on my couch in the warmth of my home with my TV, flipping between like five games, right? So maybe that's not as good an idea, but I definitely think there are some great ideas for movie theaters that you could really, really get going and get people back. I mean, you had more people on Christmas Day this year than you've had since the pandemic. I would say there's probably better movies out, or at least the coming attractions to the movies out right now look better than anything we've seen in the last few years. And even Stranger Things. I mean, that's a huge show. And, you know, I know a couple that that's how they're spending their New Year's Eve. They're going to a show here. So stuff like that, you can't just keep doing the same thing and think, okay, it's eventually going to change over. You got to keep trying these new ideas. And hey, I love seeing a movie in the movie theater. I'm going to do my part. but it is sad. As I said, the first theater in Buffalo to sell alcohol went out of business. It was also, and this is, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say this. I mean, I am on record saying that I liked the NSYNC Christmas album, so maybe I shouldn't say the next thing that's going to come out of my mouth, but what the heck? Let's do it. I saw the Lizzie McGuire movie at the theater. They just closed. That was the one time I went to that theater. And, you know, it was the biggest. It was in downtown Buffalo. It was right in the theater district. And it's closed. It's closed. One of the oldest theaters, closed. Just another empty building. And it's sad. It's disappointing. Also, what's disappointing is the Winter Classic. Now, I went to the first Winter Classic when it was in Buffalo in 2008. The Winter Classic's in Miami this year, and they're going to play it with the roof closed. Well, that's not really the spirit of the Winter Classic. Like, the whole point of the Winter Classic is it's an outdoor game, and they're going to have the roof closed in Miami. Now, I realize, hey, a lot of things have to go into effect to get this game in Miami, but I don't like when they do it in a dome or when the roof is closed. I want, you know, the outdoor experience. I mean, it was 2008 was awesome. It started snowing during the shootout. You know, a Les Kotelik goes, we lose to Sid Crosby in the Penguins, but it was a cool atmosphere and definitely the elements added to the game. Now, you guys had a Winter Classic, right, Ethan?
The Blues have played in three Winter Classics, and they hosted in 2016-17 against the Blackhawks at Busch Stadium. I went to the Winter Classic in Minneapolis in 2022, which was the coldest Winter Classic that's ever been played. And then last year they played at Wrigley Field against the Blackhawks. And I'm also, if you see the beanie I'm wearing right now, is a Winter Classic yes. beanie from last year. So St. Louis has a very fond history with their Winter Classics in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, and we've been in one since we hosted it. Hoping we get one in the new
yes,
stadium.
It's ridiculous. You guys 100%. I mean, like, when you think of hockey, you think of those teams up north in the Northeast. The fact that the Sabres, honestly, it's probably because the Sabres have been so bad for so long that they haven't gotten yeah. one. They want those games to be entertaining. But you know, the Blues and Blackhawks at the time that they played last year weren't very good. I know they're scheduled out in advance a little bit, but yeah, you know, it certainly is weird seeing a game being a Winter Classic being played in Florida. I think we need to get those back to the old classics that they used to be.
That plays into it as well. It is time for the audio cut of the day.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Yes, and this, I'm so glad this was on the list because I watched this last night. This is Bill Maher with Beach Boys drummer John Stamos talking about TDS.
It is hard. It is a phenomenon we have never seen before.
Right.
That one person would dominate
every
just the national
every dinner
for
every
over a decade.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, but yeah. And I do think you have to fight that. Like I say, if that's your whole personality, is the first thing out of your mouth is, what are we going to do about Donald
yeah,
Trump?
Yeah, yeah,
I just can't.
Absolutely correct. And that is the show. I want to thank you for all the opportunities this year. It's been great talking with you. It's been great working. It is always great working with Ethan, Sue, and Fred. Always a pleasure working with this team. Hope to work with you guys in 2026. Have a very happy new year. We will see you in 2026. Don't forget, Ryan Recker is filling in for Mark tomorrow. See you later.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.